The year was 1985, on a Wednesday night, in this very church, I stood on this platform and I graduated from kindergarten at Heritage Christian School. Man, the memories came flooding back as I was watching these children. If I remember correctly, our theme that year was raindrops and rainbows. If I remember correctly, don't quote me on that. But I remember being so excited to graduate from kindergarten. And the one disappointment, you get all excited for graduating from kindergarten and you forget you still have 12 years of school left. And then, of course, many obviously go on to college and getting a college degree. And so really this is really just the start of a very long journey. As I was sitting today trying to figure out, well, what do I say in between the, this is really, I'm just the filler for the costume change. You know that, right? They're getting their caps and gowns on and getting ready to march back in here. And because this is our normal Wednesday night midweek service, we would have a time of preaching. I will attempt to be brief tonight. But I thought, what do I say? What do I deal with while we're waiting for the children to come? We have all of these parents, many guests perhaps, maybe that have never been to our church before. I think our minds right now are on children. We're thinking about young people. We've seen some of the finest kids that this area has to offer, and some of the most adorable kids, and certainly we've seen all that they have learned and all of the things that have been put into them this year. So we think about children. I think perhaps maybe one of the best-known children's stories in all of the Bible, or stories that are given to children in all of the Bible, is found here in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. If you're not familiar with this portion of Scripture, you would at least probably be familiar with the story. The story in 1 Samuel 17 is of David and Goliath. Just about every child that probably marched across this stage, probably before they ever even started kindergarten, they were familiar with the story of David and Goliath. It's just something that is almost seems like it's born in a child. They're familiar with the story. In fact, even people who are somewhat biblically illiterate, in other words, they've never been to church before, they've never sat in a Sunday school class before, they may have never even opened a Bible, read a Bible, or looked at a Bible. And if you were to ask them, hey, who was it that David slew there that day? What was the giant's name? They would tell you Goliath. It has become a story of such renown that even those who don't know the Bible very well would be very familiar with his story. And as I was thinking in my office this afternoon about these children that you've just seen, I think we all understand that these children, in order to get to where they are tonight, had to slay some giants in their lives. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter number 17 and verse number 48, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David." The story of David and Goliath is the story of a young man who slays a giant. The truth of the matter is, it gives hope to all of us that with God's help and by His strength, we too can overcome some giants that we may have in our lives. The 2017-2018 school year began on Friday, August the 18th. On that day, 15 excited little boys and girls walked into HCS for the very first time as students. In many respects, that first day and first year is kind of like a giant in the life of a child. I mean, that's a lot to overcome, a new schedule, getting out of bed every morning at the same time, a whole lot earlier perhaps than they're used to, and carrying a book bag and carrying a lunch to school and getting the little bit of homework that they have probably throughout the year, getting it done and staying awake while the teacher's teaching and not talking and not watching cartoons most of the day or playing video games most of the day. These things are kind of gigantic obstacles for these young people to overcome, things that can be a little bit challenging for someone who's never done them before and at such a very young age. I think that perhaps August the 18th of 2017, probably for some, it was a bigger giant for their parents to overcome them going to school as kindergartners than it was for even them. I know as we watch on that very first day, we know who the parents of kindergartners are, and we know who the parents of seniors are. They're the only ones crying in the whole building. Kindergartners are coming in and they're eager and excited, and mom's dabbing tears from her eyes. The seniors, they come in trying to distance themselves from mom and dad, and mom's dabbing tears from her eyes as well. She realizes this is the last time that she will do this for her child. How did these children, so small and so innocent, how did they slay the giant of kindergarten? How was it that David, so young, so small, and so insignificant, how in the world did David slay this giant called Goliath? I really believe there are some lessons to be learned from David's conquering of Goliath that will help us as we consider some of the giants in our lives. All of us have giants to face. I want us to notice three things that are necessary if you and I are going to slay some giants. Number one, I want you to notice from this passage of Scripture that those who will slay giants must, first of all, be courageous. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." The Bible says that every other member of the children of Israel's army was fearful. The Bible says that their hearts literally failed them when Goliath would appear and come on the scene. You can read about that in verse number 24. And then this young man by the name of David shows up. And when David shows up, he hears Goliath. He hears him mocking the armies of the living God. He becomes angry as he hears this. He has this burning desire within him to slay this giant, to defend God's name against the slanderous attacks that are coming from this giant named Goliath. Can I tell you that courage is not the absence of fear? Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather, courage is a desire to overcome the obstacles in spite of the risks or fears involved. I'm fairly certain that as David marched out into that field that day to face Goliath, perhaps there was a little bit of fear involved. But David was the only one courageous enough. David was the only one that had enough courage to say, "Hey, look, I know I'm afraid. I know I'm scared, but I've got a job to do, and I'm going to do it in spite of my fear." David rose above it. David was a young man of courage. Your children got out of bed on August 18th, they put on their school uniform for the very first time, and they bravely came to school, passing by much taller, much stronger, and maybe even much wiser students than them. On that day, your children slew a giant with courage. "Hey, we're going to do this. We don't have a choice in the matter. I'm going to school. I'm scared. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what Mrs. Hoffman's going to be like. I don't know how much work I'm going to have. I don't know where I'm going to be sitting. I don't know who I'm going to be sitting next. I don't know hardly any of my classmates, but this is something that I have to do. I'm going to do it." They slew the giant through courage. But notice, those who will slay giants must not only have courage, but they must have confidence. Would you look in verse 33? The Bible says, "And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.'" So Saul says to David, "You can't do this. David, you're just a kid. This Goliath, this giant, he's been fighting since he was your age. He's got decades of experience on you. He's bigger, he's taller, he's stronger. You can't do this." Verse 34, "And David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him.'" Verse 36, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." I like David's confidence, don't you?
David says, listen, there was a time I was a shepherd. I was sitting out in the fields with my sheep, and lo and behold, a lion came into my flock, and it took one of my little lambs away, and I had to go after him, and I had to slay that lion, and I had to deliver that lamb out of the jaws of the lion. And not too long after, I was out one day, and a bear came on my flock, and I went out, and I slew that bear, and I delivered that lamb out of the jaw of that bear. And I'm telling you right now that if God can deliver me from a lion and from a bear, this Philistine, this giant, this Goliath will be no problem whatsoever. You see, he knew he could slay this giant because he had already slain a lion and a bear. I suppose that maybe the first day of school for your children, maybe it wasn't the first time your student had been stretched or asked to do something challenging. Well, it might sound nice for us to shelter our kids and to do everything for them. I want you to know something, that doesn't help them to grow up. They must be stretched for their confidence it brings when they face future giants. You see, the giant of kindergarten is a big giant, but I got to tell you, the giant of your first year of high school is even bigger. And the giant of going away to college is even bigger. And the giant of your first day in a brand new career is even bigger. But listen, you build confidence as you say, you know, look, I handled kindergarten. I got first grade, no problem. I got this. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know, how to do this, and I know how to do that. We've got our youngest son's getting ready to go to kindergarten. He comes to me just about every day. He says, Daddy, can you tie my shoes? And I keep telling him, you're going to have to learn that before you go to kindergarten next year. And he smiles, and I tie his shoes, you know. And we're working on it. We're working on it. But I'm just simply saying that the confidence that David got from slaying the giant of the lion and the bear led him, for future reference, to say, hey, I can take this Philistine down as well. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're up against today. But rest assured that perhaps what you're facing today is going to help you in the future to slay something maybe even bigger. Lastly, and I'll be done tonight, those who will slay giants must have some help. Look in verse number 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Bible tells us David met Goliath with 5 smooth stones that he had chosen from a brook. He met him with a weapon in his hand. The weapon was not a sword, the Bible says. They didn't have guns during those days. They didn't have grenades or anything like that. He met him with 5 smooth stones and a sling. He had used this sling before, no doubt. But I want you to know, in addition to these items that helped him slay the giant, there was one more thing that David took with him into the field that day. Would you look with me in verse 45? Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. Did David have 5 smooth stones? Absolutely. Did he have a sling? Without question. Did he have an element of courage? No doubt about it. Did he have some confidence because he had fought some battles previously? No question. But listen, I want you to know something. Above all of those things, the most valuable weapon in the hand of David, the greatest tool that David walked out into that battlefield with that day, was the Spirit of the living God. God was on his side. God was on the side of David, and David was confident that God was going to fight this battle for him. Who or what has helped your child to get to this point tonight? Obviously, you as a parent have played probably the biggest role. Your support, your love, And the provisions that you have given have enabled them to concentrate and focus on their schoolwork. What you provide for them in the home allows them to enjoy life as a child. It allows them to go out into the world and develop these interpersonal relationships with other children in their class. And boy, the parent is so vital, so crucial. And I'm here tonight, and I'm here to applaud you, parent. Thank you. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for getting your child to school on time. Thank you for packing their lunch. Thank you for making sure that they go to bed at a decent hour so that when they get up in the morning, they're ready to learn. Thank you for supporting Heritage Christian School. We support you. We stand behind you. We are a team. You are as big of a reason why your child is here tonight as anybody else. You've been a help to your child, and we certainly are grateful for it. But in addition to that, your children have been blessed with other family members. I look here in these pews here in the front that have been designated for the graduates and their families, and I see much more than just a mom and a dad. I see some younger. I see some a little older. I assume those that are a little bit older are perhaps grandparents, grandpa and grandma, maybe even great-grandma, great-grandpa's here tonight. And all of you have played a role. You have been a help to get your child to where he is tonight. And in just a few moments, he'll receive his little diploma. He will have graduated. She will have graduated from kindergarten. The teacher, Mrs. Hoffman, has been a help to your student, has taught them day in and day out. And from the looks of it, she has done a magnificent job. By the way, anybody else want a job like that in this room? I didn't think so. Man, what a job. I can't imagine teaching kindergartners, being responsible for their growth and development. That would scare me absolutely to death. The administration has been a help. The principal and the school secretary, all of these people, you included, have been a help to get your child to where they are tonight. But I want you to know something. Ultimately, the greatest help any of us have in this life is found in God and his providential hand at work in our lives. Can I close by saying this? The biggest giant you and I will face is not a physical giant, but it is a spiritual giant. No amount of courage, no amount of confidence, and no amount of outside help will enable you to slay this giant on your own. No family, no weapons, no mentors that you have will enable you to slay this giant. Only God can deal with this obstacle for you. Can I tell you the giant that I'm speaking of tonight? It's the same for every one of us. The giant is called sin. And left to itself, it will destroy you and your life and potentially even your family. And if never dealt with properly, it will doom you to spend eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. Listen, it doesn't have to be this way. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin. In essence, he has already slain this giant for you. But you must trust in him completely in order to be freed or saved yourself. The Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. We have a sin nature. You know that. You see that in the lives of your children. You didn't have to teach your children how to lie. You didn't have to teach them how to fight, how to cheat, how to steal, or how to get angry when things don't go their way. They come by that naturally. That's the sin nature that exists in each and every one of us. We all have it. We all have that sin nature to deal with. And the Bible says that there is a payment for our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that word death, it means separation. Giving a little bit more elaboration, revelation, it means to be separated from God for all of eternity in a place the Bible calls hell, which is the second death, to be cast into the lake of fire. That is the ultimate penalty or payment for your sin. That is a huge giant. The reason it's such a huge giant is because all of us are sinners, so I can't help you, and you can't help me. But the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God knew just how big this giant was, and he knew just how little ability you and I had to fight this giant on our own. And the Bible says that God sacrificed his one and only begotten Son. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. They took him, they beat him for crimes that he had not committed. They hung him on an old rugged cross. He had done nothing wrong. His crime was that he was dying for your sins and for mine. And the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The weapon that you need for your sin problem, for the giant of sin, you don't need five smooth stones like David needed. You don't need a sling. You don't need a gun. You don't need a bomb. You don't need anything else to defeat this giant. You don't need a stick of dynamite. You need the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your account. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Would you bow your heads with me? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Can I invite you tonight to look to him who alone is able to save you from the giant called sin? Can I invite you to invite him into your heart and into your life? How does someone get saved? According to the Bible, they believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They place all of their faith and all of their trust in him. They recognize that Jesus' death was for them. It's personal. They recognize that they are a sinner, that Jesus is the Savior, and he is the only Savior. They quit trusting in the fact that they're a good person, although they may be. They quit trusting in the fact that they're a church member, although they may be. They quit trusting in the fact that they've been baptized or they've taken communion or they've done any number of other things. And they say, that is not sufficient to save me from my sins. Only Jesus Christ can save me. Can I invite you to trust Christ tonight? Can I invite you even in the quietness of this hour to invite him into your life, to look upon him and to be saved, to be gloriously saved? If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can be saved. You can be. You don't have to leave this place the same way you came in. In the quietness of this hour, in the few moments that we have left, you can simply look to Jesus and say something like this: Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I know my sin would separate me from you for all of eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. And I know that you died on a cross to save me from my sin. And I know that I cannot slay this giant called sin in my own strength, in my own power, in my own ability. And tonight, I am trusting you. I am trusting you and you alone for my soul's salvation. I recognize that I can't get myself to heaven on my own. Only you can save me. And if you'll believe that, if you'll trust Jesus, if you'll believe the words of the Bible, you can be saved tonight.